let's spend a few moments in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we commend the rest of our time this morning here in thy house to thee. We pray that to us good under the sound of thy word. We pray that speak to us through it this morning. And also, Lord, we do pray, Father, speak to us through things unprepared that might come to mind, Lord, as we go through particular text this morning. Pray too, Father, that thou art come, Lord, and speak to thy people here. Lord, even as they hear thy word, may we pray that thou be speaking to them by thy Holy Spirit and helping them and encouraging them and comforting them as thy people. So, Father, do be with us now, forgive our sins, and help us and grant to us an anointing now, a spiritual anointing for what we do. And we ask it, Father, in his name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, our text for this morning, for this morning's message, for this morning's sermon is 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 2 to 7. So not so much looking at the first verse here, this chapter, but from verses 2 to 7. And they read as follows. And the word of the Lord came unto him, came to Elijah, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land, as God had shown him, and as he had prophesied, there was going to be a drought and a famine in the land for a number of years. So, dear friends, this morning for a little while, I want us to look together at these verses at the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 17. Just like last Sunday morning when we were looking at the first verse in Romans chapter 12, that was a verse that began a new section in that epistle of the Apostle Paul's. So this chapter here really begins a new section in the first book of Kings, because as you can see, here we begin to consider not the whole of the life. It doesn't deal with the birth of Elijah, it doesn't deal with the early life of Elijah, but certainly we begin to see here the ministry and the early ministry of this great and famous Old Testament prophet Elijah, who was the prophet before the other great Old Testament prophet, Elisha. Elijah, he was a Tishbite, as we see at the beginning of the chapter. That means he came from a place called Tishbe, or a little village, a town by that name. That's where he was from. And that was in a land called Gilead, which was on the east of the River Jordan. That is no doubt where Elijah was born. That is where he was brought up. And perhaps before he travelled to Samaria to give Ahab the prophecy that we have in verse 1, that is where he was coming from. But anyway, as we come to this new chapter in 1 Kings, as we have it in our versions, it begins his ministry, it begins his work, his prophetic ministry in those days, the ministry of the great and fiery prophet Elijah. But dear friends, as we come to these verses here, to verses 2 to 7, in particular this chapter, what is it that the prophet, whichever prophet it was who wrote these things, whoever it was, we know he was moved and guided to do so by the Holy Spirit. What is it we have in these few verses? What we have is this. We're told here about the prophet Elijah, not now in that particular village or town of Gilead that I just told you about, in Tishbe, We find him now dwelling or living or abiding by the little brook Cherith that we're told was before Jordan. It was actually in his region. He would have probably known about this place somewhat. It was in his area, it's in his region where he was born and brought up, but it's not exactly where he hailed from, but it was within that area, it was within that land. The prophet here is clearly thinking about he was dwelling by a brook. A brook is, of course, for the younger ones, it is a valley stream. It's a little valley stream. And he was there because there was going to be a period of drought, and he was going to be able to drink of the brook and be able to survive the drought. A brook is a valley stream, or perhaps we might call it a wadi. And this was the brook Cherith. Cherith means trench, which perhaps again describes where it was. It was in a valley. It was in very much a hole, if you like. It was in a trench within the land. And this was a place east of the River Jordan, again in the land of Gilead, and it was probably near the city of Jericho, near where he grew up, but if some way away from Samaria, where he came from. He came east and south from Samaria down to here. And because it was close to Jordan, that's why we're told here that it was before Jordan. It was before the River Jordan. And this is where God sent him for a little while. He didn't send him to some of the other brooks that he could have sent him to in Israel. God could have sent him to the brook Arnon. We read about that in the Old Testament scriptures. It's a well-known brook. He could have sent him to the brook Besor. Eshcol was another famous little river, little stream in the mountains. Gash is another one. Kidron, the Kidron Valley. There was a stream in that. That was well known. He could have hidden him there, provided for him there, guided him there. Kishon is another one. Zered, but no. God sent him to this particular place. For a time, God wanted Elijah to grow up in this Tisbah place in Gilead. Then he sent him to Samaria. He wanted him there for a little while. In a short while, he was going to send him to a place called Zarephath. But now for how long? For a few months? Was it perhaps for a year? He wanted him to abide and dwell in this place. I think that's important for us this morning, my dear friend. You might be sitting there wondering, well, what has this got to do with me? What has this got to do with me? Well, I think the application of this to you and me is this, is that you and I need to be very sure at all times in our lives, as God's people, and I'm thinking about Christians here this morning, that we are where God wants us to be, always. That in the past, you might have been in God's will. You might have been where he wants you to be in terms of where you live, in terms of where you work, in terms of where you worship. And that might be the case at the moment, in the present, and it also might be in the future. Certainly, Elijah at this time, although it was a strange place, he was where God wanted him to be. And there are indications that show us this. But what about you, my dear friend, this morning? Are you in the place where God wants you to be right at the moment? I trust that you are. Are you living in the right place? Are you living in the right house? Are you living in the right village or hamlet or town or city? Are you working in the right place? Do you belong to the right company? Are you working in the right kind of employment? And are you worshipping in the right place? Wherever that might be, whether it be here, if you're somebody who worships here regularly, or whether you're a visitor, wherever you come from, are you worshipping in the right place? Isn't it important, my dear friends, in order that we might have peace, in order that we might be good witnesses, in order that we might glorify God and be obedient to him, to make sure that we are in his will, and we are where we ought to be, where he wants us to be always throughout the whole of our lives. You ask yourself that question this morning. Am I where I should be at all times in my life and between these various places? Am I walking with God? Am I in his will? Well, Elijah knew what he was, and I'll show you how he knew. And I'll show you how you may know if you're in the right place in your life, or perhaps if you're not, if you're in the wrong place or places. What does the prophet then tell us about Elijah by this brook Cherith? Well, he tells us, first of all, about the Lord guiding him there. The Lord led him there. God directed him there, as we'll see, by his word. And he stayed there until God guided him somewhere else. So God guided him there, and we're told that in verses 2, or we're shown that in verses 2, 3, and 5. And then secondly, the prophet shows us how the Lord hid him there and protected him and gave him a sense of safety and security there. It didn't mean to say that he wasn't kind of exposed to certain things, but on the whole, Elijah must have known a sense of peace there and safety, because God sent him there and God was with him there. God hid him, made him safe, hid him. And I think there is a scripture somewhere, I'm not sure where it is, but it says if God hides somebody, they are hidden and they are not going to be found. And if God exposes somebody, they can't be hidden. They will be found. God's hiding places are the best. And thirdly, we'll see also here about the Lord providing all his needs while he was there, supplying his needs. And when the supplies ran out, Elijah had a good indication that it was time for him to move on. So I want us to look at these three things this morning about Elijah at the brook Cherith. First of all, notice here, the prophet draws out in verses 2, 3, and 5 about God guiding him to this place. He led him. He directed him very clearly and very plainly and very powerfully to this place. No doubt God had guided him to Samaria. He'd given him the prophecy to give to Ahab that there was going to be a famine, there was going to be a drought for a number of years. God's word no doubt came to him then. And he guided him. He knew that was the place to be. He was going into a lion's den. He was going into the midst of his enemy there. But he knew he was going to be safe. God would protect him. God had guided him there. He knew in a little while that it was God's will for him to go to Zarephath and then to other places throughout the rest of his spiritual career, throughout his prophetic life. But for now, he knew that God had guided him to this place. God had made it very plain and clear to him, and he had done so through his word. God's word had come to Elijah, and it had come clearly and powerfully, and it had come perhaps dramatically to him. The word of the Lord had come to him. God himself had come to him. Perhaps while Elijah was praying, perhaps he was being quiet sometime, peaceful somewhere, where he had grown up. God came to him, just like he came to John the Baptist, and then John the Baptist went to various places, and then he preached. So God came to Elijah, and he spoke to him. He revealed to him where he wanted to go after Samaria. And of course, my dear friends, in these days, perhaps it is somewhat different. You know, the person of God came to Elijah and he spoke directly to him. It was new revelation to him, direct speech to him. Whereas in these days, of course, how does God guide and lead and direct us? Well, he does so in providence, the way in which things work out in our lives. He does so in that way. He does so by the way in which the Spirit impresses our spirits to do certain things, to go certain places perhaps. But chiefly, my dear friends, God will guide you by his revelation. So recently on Friday, the way in which God showed Joseph to leave Bethlehem and to go into Egypt. He did so by a revelation. That was by a dream. But God doesn't guide us by dreams any longer, ordinarily. Perhaps he may do so in a very extraordinary case. But chiefly and normally and regularly, he guides us by his word, by the word of God. And that is why, my dear Christian brother and sister, it's so important for you every day, every day, various times of the day, to read the scriptures. And that is why it's so important to attend the means of grace, to hear Bible studies and to hear sermons, because God might. Well, he will, he does, he has in the past. It's our testimony. That is your testimony. He's guided your past through speaking to you in his word, and he'll continue to do so. This is how he does it. This is his method. And God works according to his methods and according to his word. So notice what the prophet tells us here. That the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah, God came to Elijah and he spoke to him. When he was in Samaria, having delivered the message to Abraham, that unpopular message that was going to make him, that was going to cause him to be persecuted and run and flee for his life. While he was there, when he was in danger and peril, God came to him and he said to him, direct speech, Elijah, now you need to get from here, to get from Samaria, which was further up the land of Israel, from this place, from the city of Samaria, who had spoken this word to King Ahab, it was going to cause him persecution, and you need to go eastward. He was going to be perhaps straight eastward across the Jordan and down a little bit, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And Elijah obeyed. He not only heard what God wanted him to do, where he wanted him to go, he did what God said. He had an ear to hear what God had to say to him, and he had a heart to obey it. It's no good just hearing what God wants you to do, where he wants you to go. You've got to actually obey it, and he did. He knew it was best for him. It would be safest for him, best for him, to do as God said. God, he knew. God knew where he'd be safe and protected, and so he obeyed. Sometimes, my dear friends, God might send us outwardly to the most dangerous of places, but if that's where he wants us, it is the safest place for us to be. And that is why some missionaries have perhaps gone abroad sometimes, very dangerous places. I met a lady only the past week who'd been a missionary in northwest Pakistan in the past, who'd been very dangerous, but God had sent her there as his missionary, and so that is the place where it was safest for her to be. And this was the place where it was safest for Elijah to be. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And he stayed there, you notice, until he had further guidance, further leading, further direction. God coming to him again and guide him on to another place, to that of Zarephath. So, my dear friends, this is how Elijah knew. This is how he had the conviction that he was where God wanted him to be. This is why he had peace of mind where he was there, even though he was being pursued by Ahab. Ahab went all over the place. He sent messengers not only throughout Israel but in other countries, pursuing Elijah to kill him for the message that he had given. But he never found him, because God hid him in this place. So even though that was going on, I don't know how aware Elijah was of that, he had peace in his heart. He knew it was the place where God wanted him to be, because God had clearly guided him there by his word. And he noticed this not only at this point in Elijah's life, but in the rest of his life as well. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 8 and 10. After he had spent some time in this place, God wanted him somewhere else. And so God's word came to him again, and he knew it was time to move. And he came to Elijah saying, arise, get thee now to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon. So now he had to go back the way that it came, perhaps near to Samaria, going northwest up to this place Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, Tyre and Sidon on the Mediterranean coast, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So he arose and went to that place. And then a little bit further on, chapter 18 and verses 1 and 2, it came to pass after many days, after he'd been in Zarephath many days, it was a few years, God's word came to him the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, I'll send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. Then in chapter 21 and verses 17 and 18 we read, God's word came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab. Yes, even your enemy Elijah. You can rise up from where you are. You can go and see this man. I'm going to be with you. I am sending you. Go to Ahab, which is in Samaria. He's in Samaria. He's in the vineyard of Naboth, where he's gone down to possess it. He just murdered him. Again, Elijah, you're going to preach to him a very, very unpopular message. And you're not going to be popular at all. He's going to persecute. He's going to want your life to kill you. He's going to want to murder you continually again. But you'll be safe because I have sent you. Very dangerous, my dear friends, to move without God's permission, without his guidance. It's very dangerous not to go when he has sent you. So there we are. God telling us here through the prophet, God sent him to Cherith, he guided him there, and he knew, therefore, he was in the right place where God wanted him to be. He knew there was protection there. In that valley, by that stream, perhaps there was a cave there that he hid in. And God showed it, God led him there, and he was safe in the time that he spent there. Perhaps he had very sweet fellowship and communion with God while he was there. He was close to God. Being close to God, he heard him speak to him again to lead him on to another place. Well, my dear friend, what about you? Did your Lord and your God guide you to where you live? Did he? Were you careful, my dear friends? You've got to be very careful where you live, because that is where you're going to serve. And the people around you, your neighbours, are the kind of people that God wants you to witness to by your example and by your speech. So it's very important that you know you are where God wants you to be when you move. Moving house is very important. It can be very treacherous. And you must not move. You must not lift up the tent pegs of your tent and go somewhere else unless God shows you the way. He moves you to go by his Spirit. He's showing you to do so. He's opening the way. He's opening the doors by in providence. But also, he's spoken to you. You say, can God still do that today? Yes, he can. It's been my experience, the experience of many here, I'm sure, throughout your Christian life. God has spoken to you through his word. I can remember when I became a Christian. And I went back home to live with my dad for a little while. God spoke to me very clearly that I shouldn't stay there. That I had to go back to the place where I'd been converted, the church where I was converted. Before I went down to the church in Devizes and pastored there, before we pastored there, I could remember God clearly speaking to me through his word. You don't hear an audible voice. But if God gives you the grace to be sensitive, to have a tender heart, to have your ears open to these things, he shows you the way. He impresses certain scriptures upon you. Say, yeah, that's the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. This is the way that he wants me to go. This is his leading. This is to his direction. This is his guidance. He shows you the way. So did he guide you to where you live? Did he guide you to where you work? Did he also guide and direct you, my dear friends, to where you worship today, whether here or somewhere else? God has promised to be our God. And he promises as our God to be our guide, even unto death. We don't need any guidance after that, because we'll be in glory. But we need guidance up until that time. And he guides us through his word. Well, if he's done this in the past, my dear friends, you are where he wants you to be. And if he hasn't, you just need to check, my dear friend, you are where God wants you to be. Make sure about that. And my dear friend, you need to stay put where God has put you. Remain in the calling where God has called you until he calls you somewhere else. Don't get discontented. Don't start to agitate. Don't get impatient until God moves you on. Stay where you are. Stay put until God shows you otherwise. So Elijah knew he was where God wanted him to be. God guided him there. Secondly, we notice here in verse 3 here, briefly now, the prophet writing about the Lord not only guiding Elijah there, but once he was there, God hid him and sheltered him and protected him. And we know that he protected him from whom? He protected him from his enemy, his arch enemy. He protected him from Ahab. What a wicked man Ahab was. An idolater, no doubt also an adulterer, and a persecutor of God's people. The husband of the most wicked person in the Old Testament, Jezebel. And the relative, was he the son of the grandson of Othniel, one of the most wicked kings in Israel, in Israel's history. And he was his son, and he was no better. And he was Elijah's enemy. And he felt that Elijah was his enemy. He said later on, doesn't he, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" And Elijah spoke another word to him. So God hid him there from Ahab, his enemy, the king of Israel, and an evil and idolatrous man. So when God, when the scriptures say here, "Hide," God says to him, "Hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." What he's saying here is, hide yourself from him. Hide yourself from his emissaries, from his messengers who are trying to find you. And if they find you, they'll take you. They'll take you back to him, and he will put you to death. It was a matter of life and death that Elijah was in the right place. But my dear friends, because God was hiding him and protecting him, he knew he was in the right place. He had peace about him. Listen to these verses in chapter 18 and verses 4 and 10 to 13. Just throwing a bit more light upon this. We read, "Therefore, it was so, when Jezebel, Ahab's wife, cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets, and he hid them," again, "by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water." Lovely little illustration here. Just as Obadiah, one of God's servants, hid those prophets from Ahab in a cave, in the same way the Lord hid Elijah, perhaps in a cave, or at least in that valley. He says to Elijah later, "As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord has not sent to seek thee." He's gone all over the place. He's been so zealous to find you because he hates you and wanted to kill you. And when they said he's not there, Ahab took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. Oh, God is a sovereign protector, my dear friends. And if he wants to hide us from our enemies and protect us and shelter us, they won't get through to us. He will be our buckler. He'll be our shield. He'll be our high tower that we can run into, and we shall be safe. But he goes on, "It shall come to pass, as soon as I'm gone from thee, the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water?" And if Obadiah's hiding place was so good that Ahab couldn't find them and find out about them through him, just think how much greater and better and wiser a protector we have in our God. He can hide us and shelter us from our enemies. So again, Elijah was aware. He was conscious. He was in the right place because God hid him from his enemy. My dear friends, wherever you are, wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you worship, complete protection isn't guaranteed. You are going to be attacked sometimes. You are going to be tempted by the wicked one. But can we not say, my dear friends, that if we're where God wants us to be, the Lord, in his goodness and his grace and mercy, will afford us a measure of protection, a measure of peace of mind from our enemies. And very often we know when we've gone astray, when we've gone spiritually off piste, if you like, where we shouldn't be, because suddenly we are exposed. We've gone away from the shepherd, and he allows the dogs to attack. He allows the wolves to begin to attack us. And that should make us aware. We're not where we should be. Therefore, we must get back close to God and back into the will of God and back to where God wants us to be. God can sometimes show us we're not where we ought to be because we come under spiritual assault and attack. But if you know a measure of protection where you are, it's a sign and indication you are where you should be. And remain there, my dear friends, unless you want to suffer as a consequence of moving. Safe to be where God wants you to be. Finally, we're told to in verses 4, 6 and 7 about the Lord providing for Elijah there at the brook Cherith. The Lord didn't give him a very rich fare. The Lord perhaps didn't give him everything that he wanted. The Lord didn't give him lots and lots of luxuries. But the Lord provided for him his daily bread, his necessary food and drink there. He gave him drink of the brook, because perhaps where it was going to be the last places that was going to dry up. And he gave him miraculously, supernaturally, again, he knew he was in the right place because of the supernatural way in which he was being provided for, cared for by God. The ravens coming in the morning and the evening with bread and with meat, coming on both of those occasions, God provided for him and continued to do so until it was time to move on. That's very interesting, isn't it? It's time to move on when the brook began to dry up. Perhaps the ravens stopped coming and he knew it was time he was going to go somewhere else. So we're told here, God said to him, "You'll drink of the brook. I've commanded, I've charged the ravens," because God has control over everything, my dear friends. He has control over us. He has control over the whole of creation, the universe. He has control of the creatures, the animals and the birds. He commands the ravens or the crows to feed Elijah there. And they bring him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. It came to pass after rather the brook dried up because there'd been no rain in the land. He knew he was in the right place because God provided him his needs. And when they ran out, it was time to go somewhere else. It was the same, wasn't it, in the next passage in 1 Kings 17, 15 and 16, the widow woman of Zarephath. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and the whole of her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. It's another practical point, my dear friends. You know where you're in the right place. Because although God might not give you everything that you want, especially if you're greedy, he'll provide you your needs. My God, Paul says, will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You won't perhaps have everything. Sometimes you might find yourself sailing close to the wind, as it were. You might not have a lot, but he'll provide for you. Your daily bread, those things whereby you should be content, your food, your clothing, and your shelter. And if that's the case, no doubt, generally speaking, there's always exceptions, but they prove the rule, don't you? You are where God wants you to be. And sometimes God withdraws, and that's when he wants us to move on. When I look back, I can see that God wanted me now to finish at Devizes. Why is it? What was one of the indications? I didn't really feel I was getting a word for those dear people anymore. A word wasn't coming to me when I was waiting on the Lord and praying to the Lord, you know, for a text. Nothing was coming anymore. And that should have told me, did after a while, that it was time to move on. God does sometimes move us on. That's one of the indications that he is. He begins to withdraw supply. There's a story in the life of Pastor C, the Chinese evangelist. He actually knew that he was going to die. And the reason how he knew, because God's strength suddenly was withdrawn from him. God removed spiritual power from him, and he knew his time had come to move, not from one place to another in this world, but from this world to glory, from time to eternity. God is good, isn't he? God is our God. He's our King. And this is what he does. This is what kings do. Kings guide. Kings guide their people. They protect their people. They provide for their people. And God does this. He's our prophet and our priest and our king. And he does these things for our people, for his people. Not only for Elijah, not just for prophets and apostles, but for you and for me. He acts in this way that we might know that we're where he wants us to be. So Elijah was certainly and surely guided there by the Lord's word to the brook Cherith. safely and securely hidden there from his enemy. And he was, yes, simply but satisfactorily provided there by God, by his giving him bread and meat and water. He knew he was in God's place. Do you, my dear friends, if you heard these things this morning, you should be examining yourself, thinking yourself, well, is this so? Has God guided me here where I am? Is he looking after me as my Father? And is he supplying my needs? There's so much of it. Be content. Don't look elsewhere. Grass is always greener on the other side. Be content to dwell where you are till God moves you elsewhere.